Hello and welcome to a new episode of Tinkering with X, Y, and Z. I'm Aru, I'm your host, and I'm joined with
Shailendra. I'm the co-host here.
Yes, so
I'm the only one who has been to conference of parties.
Okay, so why he's talking about this? Because the topic for today we have is children and change in honor of Children's Day, which will be on 14th of November. So happy Children's Day to me and every child out there.
Everybody has a child inside, so happy now, Children's Day to
now everybody. You're children, otherwise you're adults.
Yeah, we are adult children.
Adult children, children at heart. Everyone should be children at heart.
Yes.
Yeah, so coming to the big news that we have is that there is a COP, the COP26 is happening, has happened. And there were protests in Glasgow led by Greta Thunberg, and he has been to one of the cop-outs.
Cop-outs.
You've been one of the cop-outs, the COP22, am I right?
COP22, yeah. Marrakesh, Morocco.
In Morocco. And Greta Thunberg is the leader of these protests, where they're asking them to take immediate change, immediate action on climate change. And it's mostly youth and children, very young children coming for these protests and leading them. And she talked about how this COP is a failure and a lot of harsh things about it, which I think is true, because she said we can't get out of these things the same way we got in them.
Correct.
And if you're going to have the same conversation every year, there's no way we're going to move forward with them. Children should be a part of these decisions because they directly impact us, and I feel like we understand the urgency of it more than if you have waited 5 years for something. You clearly, I feel like, don't understand how urgent it is to be involved in changing climate and passing the required actions that need to be taken. But coming to a little more personal experience for my thing is that recently in June itself, the Pride Month that we had. And I want to talk about how it's important to give children opportunities to do something on their own, like rather than telling them that you might know this, I'll tell you what to do. So one of these examples, in June, there was obviously the Pride Month, which is for the LGBTQ community. And we were given to do assemblies on any topic. We didn't have Pride Month, but we decided that we wanted to do it, and we had to ask the school before we could proceed with it. And we were scared to ask. And I think that really shows it how, why are we scared to ask for something that we believe in, to speak about, to speak our mind about, right? Because if we are the leaders today of today and tomorrow, we should be able to talk about issues that we care about, that concern us and that we care about. So, but we went to the school, and the school very agreed for us to do it, and we were overjoyed. But I feel like we shouldn't have been overjoyed because they just accepted our proposal that was should have been considered anyway. But yeah, we did this assembly, and we no teacher was involved in it. Like, she just told us, do it however you want. She gave us the freedom, and we had conversations, and we put in effort, and it came out wonderful.
I've seen the video.
We'll put the link, and it came out wonderful. And that's when I realized that how important it is for you to give us an opportunity so we can show you that we can actually change.
Or the other way around, it is how important it is for you to take that opportunity and show what you could do.
And I feel like this is a show of us taking this opportunity that we got and then doing something with it. That's why I truly believe, and with Tinker as well, that I started, it was about giving teenagers a space where they could think and tinker around with, right, with different things in this world that they care about, which they believe in, and other things. So I think both of us believe in children.
Yes,
youth.
I do.
If you do. And the person who are we going to be talking to now also really, really believes in children.
Yeah, Aditi, who is sort of founder, chairperson for Mountain Children Foundation, based out of Uttarakhand. She has been doing great work there.
Yeah.
Aditi is doing great work there.
And let's go and talk with her now.
She is a friend of Tinker.
She's a friend of Tinker. And let's go on to that segment now. So we are joined with our guest.
Hi, Aditi. Thank you for joining in.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
So, thank you very much for the work that you're doing for children and especially for mountain children in that sense. Thank you very much.
So could you tell us more about Mountain Children Foundation?
Oh, I can tell you a lot about it and I can tell you very little about it. So I'll try and stick to the very little and so you can find out more about us on our website and maybe if you'd like to come and talk or whatever later on, you can do that. So the Mountain Children's Foundation was registered in 2003. But in 2002, we had what was called the International Conference of Mountain Children because it was the International Year of Mountains, the UN International Year of the Mountains. And our patron, who later became our patron, but my guide and philosopher, Cyril Raphael, he said that when the UN talks about mountains and has a whole year dedicated to the mountains, yet they don't talk about children in the mountains. They'll talk about women, they'll talk about mountains, they'll talk about rivers, but nobody talks about children because children are always a subset of families. And they're not considered individuals in their own sense. Which is really important for me because that's what we believe really strongly. So we had this conference of mountain children and we had children also from all over India. So they were from the Javari Hills of Tamil Nadu. They were from the Eastern and Western Ghats. Of course, all 13 districts of Uttarakhand, Himachal, the Seven Sisters, you know, Nepal, children from Nepal, some Tibetan children also. So all these children got together and at that time we were discussing the UNCRC, the United Nations Convention of Child Rights, you know, which India had signed on the 11th of December, 1992. And the children said that we don't get a space to participate in. We want our own space. No, we don't have a space where we can say what we want to and where we're listened to. So the Mountain Children's Forum started off there. They created a forum. And then we realized if we want to keep this energy alive, we'll have to register an organization that focuses only on children and child participation and child rights. So that was the birth of Mountain Children's Foundation, CF as we call it, or PABAM INT and PABAM that we have with the kids. We go PABAM every time we want to say something that's specific or important or something like that. And we work on several issues, but all through the child lens. So, you know, children and environment, children and disaster, children and gender, you know, bridging the gender gap, children and bridging the generation gap, children and sanitation, you know. So these are all the things we are working with children. And I'm not working for them. I work with them because they're the real change agents. So.
And I think it's a very important lens. You talked about lens of child. How would a child react? How would a child do it? I think that's a very interesting perspective. Thank you very much for
that. Yeah, and so you're talking about making change agents, right? And we're talking about how change agents of tomorrow, not so much, but change agents of today. But I wanted to know how, like usually when we have organizations working on leaderships, they look at the cream of students, like the best schools, the best cities, the top cities. Why did you decide to go to a place that is so secluded, like away from even a city itself? It's so rural and so remote, but why would you want to go there and get children and make them the change agents?
Okay, so I am a child of the mountains. I have lived in Nainital all my life and I love the mountains very much. I have traveled and I've met a lot of children and I've seen in them the energy, the spark, the want and the need to do something. But they have never had access to thinking differently or being given the space to say what they want to. And I don't believe that children in villages are any less intelligent than children in the cities or in the, you know, very highly placed schools, etc. And in fact, children who go to these big cities and big schools actually don't have time to you know, do what our children are doing. They're actually collectively making a change. It's not an individual change they're making. They are being collective. So I think in today's day and age, it is important for all of us to work together. You know, if we work individually, I can fly to the sun. But if we all fly to the sun, wouldn't that be better? You know, so how do we do that? And that's what our children are doing in their Bal Sangathans. We call them the children's groups Bal Sangathans. And so what are they doing in their Bal Sangathans to go further and take everyone with them? So rich, poor, girls, boys, if they have any physical disabilities or mental disabilities, they're all part of the Bal Sangathans. They all have to be part of the Bal Sangathans.
Yeah, I think it's a very important topic about how we should raise the community rather than individual, right? We have to take our community with us. And that's the empowerment that I think we should be focusing on more rather than individual empowerment. I think that's a great message. Yeah, I think we'll end it with any message you have for the kids, for the audience people, watching, yeah. The young people watching right now. Anything you want to say?
Well, I would like to say, have faith in yourself. You're the strongest we have. You're the best we have. And together you can make a huge change. And we all will be there standing with you. So happy Children's Day and take this forward.
Yeah.
Recommendation?
Yeah. And now coming to the recommendation that you have for our audience. Any book, TV show, movie that you'd like to suggest that they should check out?
Any activity.
Any activity also.
Anything that you would recommend.
I just was listening, in fact, today to Vinisha Umashankar. She's a young 14-year-old who's actually talked at COP26, and she's an innovator. And I think you guys should check her out and see. She's actually come up with the solar energy that you can use an iron on a press. Oh. For people who can press clothes. So, yeah, like that on a trolley. And she has charging points for mobiles, etc. So they can do that. So they actually are using solar energy to iron their clothes.
That's nice.
Which is kind of amazing. And I was listening to her today and I was like, wow, that's kind of cool, you know. If kids like today are coming up with that, maybe there's a good future ahead. You know, we may not just blow this earth out of its space. So yeah, have a look at that. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it's a very interesting recommendation. We have a first person recommendation. I think that's great for Children's Day. A 14-year-old who's innovating something for
our future.
Yeah, for everyone's future. It's wonderful. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for coming on Tinkering with X, Y, and Z, and you're a friend of Tinker now, so you're part of that group.
Thank you.
And we'll see you soon.
Yeah, we'll see.
Thank you so much.
And we'll see you soon in
Mumbai. Please, definitely. Yes. When you come to Dehradun,
yeah, we'll
come and check us out. Come and meet us. We'd love to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
It was a great conversation. She has done so much for the community, I think. Just hearing her speak about them, and she knows a lot about it and she's experienced it. So I think it's great to listen to what she has done.
And she's full of energy in that sense.
Energy and hope for children. Like the amount of pride she was having, just talking about how children are like the future, the present.
They are the present, yeah.
The present, her thing was like, what are you talking about? Change because of tomorrow, they'll change because of today. What do you talk? Let's not wait for tomorrow. People like her who take initiatives and continue doing this. She's been doing this for longer than I have been here in this world.
The foundation started in 2003.
Officially started in 2002. And to do it for so long with so much dedication and continuous hope, that's truly admirable, I think, in her.
Great
and
work.
We're really glad that people like her are here to take this initiative. So that's wonderful. Okay, now coming to our recommendations.
Yep.
What is your recommendation?
What is yours?
You want to start with me?
Yes, of course. Okay. No, it's always a Children's Day. You are the first. Come on, go ahead.
Yes, so my recommendation is this book is called The Young and Restless, Youth and Politics in India by Gurmehar Kaur. This is the book that made me a Gurmehar Kaur fan. It's the first book I read by her. And this book contains 8 young politicians, young comparatively to the average age of the
Indian parliament.
Indian politician, which is like 65. So, but these are younger, not exactly young, but, and she also talks about four upcoming politicians who have not yet a member of parliament, but they're part of like youth politics. And they're all very, like, they're from different parties, and it's not like she's putting her ideology on anyone, but like she talked to everyone, and everyone had very progressive ideas where it reflected youth, like about how we talk about, oh, why is there no fast change? But looking at them, I feel like if they come to power, I have belief that there'll be faster change. And this also kind of got me into politics to understand, because for a teenager, politics is not that appealing because it's all old people, everyone 60, 65. I'm like, what am I supposed to do there? But reading this, it makes you feel like, yeah, I do have a stake in it. I'm 1 year away from voting age, where I have a stake in who is going to lead my municipality, my state, and my country. So I think we should read this if you are kind of right now uninterested in politics, but you need to get interested soon enough. So this book is a great start for that.
Great start.
Now your book.
My recommendation again, and it's, I've gone back to philosophy again. It's a book called Meditations. It's by Marcus Aurelius. And I've been watching a lot of Roman history channels and stuff like that. Marcus Aurelius was an emperor, Roman emperor. But he was also a Stoic.
Okay. S-T-O-I-C. Stoic.
Yeah, Stoic. So Stoic was a very interesting, it has a very interesting start. It's a philosophy of how to live your life. Some of the things that Marcus Aurelius and other Stoic philosophers, Stoicism as it is called, they make a very interesting point. They say, one of the things, they say many things. One of the things that, two things which strike out, and I've spoken about it earlier as well. First thing is that you should know what you can control and what you can't control.
Yeah.
That ability to distinguish.
Yeah.
If you can't control it, don't fret over it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a problem that people have. They get people, annoyed and they...
Yeah, they get annoyed and you're just letting it suck your energy out.
Yeah.
Controllable, non-controllable. That's the first thing. And I think early on, if you could get that sense, you could lead a very productive life.
Yeah.
Happy life too. Happy, very productive, happy life as well. Second thing that Stoics talk about is this whole idea of voluntary hardship.
Yeah, we're talking about
it. Yeah, I've spoken about it. And I think it makes tremendous sense because once you sort of, not deprived, but once you get away from a lot of material possessions, you would see that how useless or futile they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you resilience. That gives you, that helps you live a life even when those things are not around. So Marcus Aurelius' Meditations. And this comes from somebody who was a Roman emperor. He was the richest man of his time. In today's term, he would be a billionaire.
Yeah.
But he lived a life which was a Stoic life. Yeah. So that's my recommendation. Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. Go the Stoic way.
Go the Stoic way. I think that's a great message to end the Children's Day special episode on. So happy Children's Day. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe, click the bell icon, share with your friends, and we'll see you again. Keep tinkering. I think we should end with that.
Keep tinkering.
Keep tinkering.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.